tales of hope.
I'm Jerry McGreer.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this is Days of Future Cast. Welcome back, everybody. It's been a week since you last heard us. It's been several weeks since we've recorded. So for a minute there, I was like, it's been a month because schedules are weird in podcasting world. But we're back. We're going to be talking about more Age of X, the mysterious crossover event where nobody knows what's happening and everything is different now.
Age of Triple X.
Age of Triple X.
Not to be confused with Age of X-Man, which maybe someday the anti-sex X-Men League. But this is the much more modest event.
Yes.
Than that.
I got very confused because I was trying to find the next issue and I looked up Age of X and didn't realize I was on the Age of X-Man page and was getting extremely confused about what issues to read next and how it all related to one another. Luckily,
this event has like a reputation as kind of like a nothing, given that things basically reset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, back to normal at the end. But I really enjoyed it. I like the mystery of this.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cool details in this issue.
And it's nice to see it get, you know, the deck shuffled a little bit, right? Like, it's just kind of fun.
It's a weird thing where I realize, you know, I talked about this last time, too. I'm just in the pocket for alternate universe shit with characters I already love. Kind of no matter what, you know, mm-hmm. I'll do Age of whatever.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Throw it on there, you know? I don't know. Just give me an alternate character interpretation.
Yeah,
I was reading about
12 issues of just randomness. Like, maybe 12 issues of just like some nonsense, and then like go back to whatever you want to do in this canon events that I don't normally care about. So,
yeah, that also just also end up being kind of nonsense on a long enough timeline. You know, I was remembering last night before bed I was doing wiki diving, and remembered an event called Earth X, which is from the late 90s. That I remember reading and kind of liking. And then I read the synopsis of it and it's fucking wild. Do you know about Earth X?
It rings a bell, but I don't remember it offhand. I have not wiki dove it recently. So
it's got nothing to do with X-Men really. It's just an alternate future, like dystopian Marvel universe with some of the most confusing lore I've ever seen. Not just the original version, but the trilogy. It's kind of, you know, a little bit like Ruins, like bad things happening. All the characters. The main thing I remembered from it was Wolverine is like a schlubby beer belly guy who lives with like a dumpy version of Jean Grey.
Okay.
In this version, everyone gets powers. So like the superheroes are no longer special, I think is the thing. So they're just like a couple. And then at the end of it, it's revealed that when she leaves him, that she was not green Jean Grey. She was just Madeline Pryor, like pretending for Wolverine. And it's super sad.
Gotcha.
To me. Like, great. But yeah, it's really confusing. And this less confusing. It's like something about an event that is very modest that just kind of wraps up. It's kind of fun to me. Even though the cover has a look at the cover of this Kurth art with Rogue's boob being both behind and in front of Danger's claw.
Yes.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that?
Yeah. Boobs have obviously boobs are physics defying. Items in the comic books world, right? Like we can just do anything. I'm not deep enough into Baldur's Gate 3 to have confirmed this, but did they sneak in dick physics in that game? Is that something,
they did.
That's something that I read?
Yeah.
What
Detective Dick Physics is on the case.
What is that even? Yeah. How does that even come up in the video game? Like, I don't even. If you're not in the character creator, like where are you seeing the dicks? I don't.
If you're running around naked.
So you can just strip off all your clothes. I haven't even and didn't even.
You certainly can.
Okay, didn't even.
I can't remember if I told you this in my first playthrough of it. I accidentally sold my character's underwear.
Okay,
and clothes at one point, and I couldn't find more because I was late in the game, where they stopped selling basic stuff like that. So everything was fine. I was out adventuring, and I would go back to camp
and
for
just
like
be
the scenes
totally naked,
and my guy would just be naked like all the time and having these very serious conversations, just standing around full hog. And then eventually somebody on the Slack, I think Zumbini, shout out to Zumbini, gave me the tip that clothes are often found inside crates and barrels.
Oh, sure.
So I dug around until I found some underwear.
You just got to go to Crate and Barrel and buy some nice candle holders and some underwear.
Crate and Barrel. got some of those sticks that smell like vanilla bean. So I had to find underwear, but you can certainly be nude and characters will react. You can walk around the entire game naked. And everyone will be like, shit, you're naked.
I can't decide whether or not that's good or not. Like, it's not anything that appeals to me whatsoever. Like, and it's not even, Like, I can't even imagine being 13 years old and being like, naked. Like, I can't even do it. Yeah, I can't even get to that point in my head with it. Oh. Like, so, but it's like, good on them for like spending, what, 1,000 man hours probably to do that?
I don't like that as a resource cost. If I start thinking about, you know, it as a resource cost, I start getting sad. It's a thing I love the game in spite of.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it's not for me, it's for somebody to do that. And if I was 13, I would have fucking zoomed in on each and every one of those pussies.
Sure.
In the game. Are you fucking nuts?
Yeah.
I would have been a goddamn proctologist in that game.
Like, looking at every orifice possible.
Yeah. It would have been, I would have been the beholder. I had 8 eyes and they would have been all very busy.
Yeah, we should not talk about Baldur's Gate 3 on this podcast, because you guys have a whole other podcast about to come out about Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah. So
very soon, in a couple days, I think.
We're going to talk about New Mutants number 22. Before we get like too deep into this, just as a kind of, we're only 2 issues in this crossover event. We don't really know what's happening. Like, all of the X-Men, all of the remaining mutants in this world are gathered at this fortress that Magneto is running with the help of something called X. He's enlisted mostly all of the cool mutants, I would say, in his efforts to resist the humans from coming in and killing all of them. So we're in this kind of like apocalyptic world. We don't know how we got here. We don't know why things are so different. We don't know if this is future, past, or whatever. But the big thing is, Rogue is acting as the Reaper, or as Legacy. Basically, anytime a mutant dies, she's absorbing their memories so that she can continue their memory, even though they passed away. And something crazy has happened. A mutant escaped from the brig, because they keep mutants in prisons over here, which should be a big question to Magneto, but has not been so far. One escaped, went across these force fields that they have set up to keep the humans out, and is now back. Rogue found her. It's Kitty Pryde, but we don't know exactly what's going on. So this is Rogue trying to figure out what the hell is happening.
She had a camera.
Yeah, she had
in this permanent siege state.
Exactly.
This opening page here we get with what looks like Jubilee.
It is.
Talking to Chamber. This is kind of nothing, but the thing it's revealing is that Chamber is back to his old form. In the comics at this time, Clan Akaba had made it so he can control his powers, and now he's back to having this gigantic, you know, flaming energy thing in his chest cavity.
I do like this conversation, just because it's like, you know, why are we doing this, says Jubilee. Like, what is the point? Every day is the same, which is something we're going to get from all of these characters, of this repetition, right? Every day we wake up, they attack us, we resist.
Unending
siege. Exactly. And Chamber just says, you know, hey, if we do this for so long, maybe it'll inspire someone else to do the same. And like, maybe that'll be enough.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's giving us a little taste of hope, but also giving us the idea of like, everybody's a little dunzo with the situation. Of just like, okay, we're doing the same exact thing now.
Yeah. Well, this kind of romantic notion of it.
Yeah.
You know, which ends up making sense for what we eventually find out about what this is.
Rogue.
Cut over to
Rogue.
Yeah, Rogue and White Suit Magneto.
I love a White Suit Magneto.
Me too.
She wants to interview Kitty Pryde, use her powers to get information, whatever. And Magneto is just like, no, Kitty Pryde is Danger's prisoner. You don't have access to her. I don't have access to her, which is kind of a lie, as we've seen. We know Magneto's running some game here, but like, all we really care about is how she escaped from the brig. Like, we'll deal with this. This is not your job.
Too dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. She might have brought something back, like a disease or something, but Rogue can't let this rest. So she goes and talks to Madison Jeffries, Box from Alpha Flight, here, a character who I've always really liked, who it was fun when he joined the San Francisco X-Men for a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a cool, again, these little tantalizing hints in here. He's been running this telescope thing, and he's measuring starlight and getting the wrong answer.
Yeah.
This is going to be this weird little sub thread, but these little hints,
yes,
they're dropping.
She's here because of his affinity with technology and is like, hey, can you take a look at this camera? And he discovers the camera is not broken in any way. Like, it's not like someone purposely like took a picture of basically nothing, like 200 something pictures of absolutely nothing. And she asks him for one more favor and gives him a little kiss so she can steal some of his powers that she's going to be using for later.
Yeah. We then cut to the worst mask in the history of masks.
It's pretty bad.
Basilisk Cyclops, who has just woken up from an all-night fuck sesh with Frenzy, who is hungry for more.
Yeah.
He woke up and she's just like, there's things you can do while you're awake. And he does not immediately want to fuck. I mean, fucking pray frenzy. Understand the male refractory period.
Hey, your tongue doesn't have a refractory period, Cyclops. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey,
you can put in work, but you're not going to, you know, be half-hearted.
Which she calls him out for. She specifically says that he was being half-hearted.
This cunnilingus was wanting.
Yeah.
But he couldn't, look at that mask. You couldn't go walk in Memphis with that shit. You'd chomp it off. Like, there's too many spikes on the top row.
I don't know. Maybe she's into that, man. Like, maybe she likes a little...
Maybe she's frenzy. She's got an indestructible clit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So of course she's into it. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. He's probably just blasting the clit. Like,
just opening the eyes wide open. Full visor. Optic blast down there.
Yeah, if you're here's one from a pro.
Yeah, yeah. Like Belladonna in her heyday, right? Just like, I'll do anything that you want, I guess. I don't care. I'm getting paid.
Yeah, I don't think. Whoa, we solved it.
We solved the Belladonna issue, everybody.
Like, fuck.
Cyclops doesn't have his heart in fucking because he's held up with a little bit of death. He tells a story. He's been collecting these dog tags of the human soldiers that he's been killing. And he tells the story about, you know, one particular group that he had to be a little creative with killing. He couldn't shoot them directly because they had this, like, force field, this diffuser, you know, armor on. So he just dropped a fucking building on them. And it killed this girl whose name is, I don't even remember her name.
Jackson. Something Jackson.
And she looked 17, not old enough to drink, but old enough to go to war. But the thing is, he already had these dog tags before, and he remembered killing a black person, a black man, several months before with the same name, rank, and serial number. Again, talking about these little tantalizing things of, like, this repetition.
Which is in the Matrix, like Truman Show shit.
Exactly, yeah. Something weird is going on. Something is happening.
We get Rogue infiltrating the jail here, and I really like how Madison Jeffries' powers are portrayed in this. It's similar to Ex Machina, that comic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where she just talks to machines, like, casually.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Thank you. You know, cameras look away. There's nothing to see. Like, I really like these having conversations with machines, like translating human speech to code like that as a power. She does this to find Kitty Pryde, but on the way she gets distracted by Blindfold.
Yes.
Blindfold, I don't know very much about. Sees the future is what I basically know.
And she tells, she kind of hints at Rogue of, like, this is all wrong. You need to go talk to the professor.
She recognizes her as Rogue as well.
Yeah.
She calls her Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which nobody else really does. And, you know, you need to go find the professor. You need to unmask all of this. You need to untie all of this.
Yeah.
Of course, Rogue is like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, girl. Like, I don't.
Yeah. I got somewhere to be.
Yeah. I got things to do. You seem a little stressed. I'm just going to leave now. I'll come back later. We'll hang out.
This is what alerts danger.
Yes.
Is Blindfold's spike in heart rate. So Danger sends a couple drones out. This is going to be the undoing.
Can we talk about Danger's hangout sesh for a minute?
Her yoga?
Yeah, like, her weird little mechanical yoga with four giant TVs all split up with, I mean, that's got to be 32 video signals on each one. Like, just a lot of video.
On each one, times four.
Yeah.
And the TV stands look like little Tonto stands.
Yes.
You know, from like a dojo and with the kneeling and everything, it's very, Kill Bill danger.
It always makes me wonder, like, nobody asked the question of, like, where do they get their HDMI cables and the X-Men? Like, do they just go to Moto Price, or do they have, like, they just call Forge and be like, I need a 6-foot long, like, right angle HDMI cable.
So beneath
God
me.
God damn it.
Yeah. Madison Jeffries just tells something else to turn into it.
There you go.
I like how even in an alternate universe where you have free reign to redesign Danger, it is impossible to come up with a good design for Danger.
Yeah, this
no one has ever done it.
The general concept, the core concept of the character, just is like, oh, our Danger Room turned into a super hot woman robot is kind of just it's just going to stop anybody from actually being able to make a good design.
I don't know how they do it. It almost feels like it has to be on purpose at this point. It is the worst designed X-Man. Rogue finds Kitty Pryde. And they kind of banter back and forth. Rogue's just like, hey, what were you doing with this camera? You know, all the pictures are blank. And Kitty Pryde's playing hardball with her because she's a prisoner. You know, and she's the ergonomics of this prison situation is really rough. She's put down on her knees. She has this helmet. She's being held by little tentacles.
Yeah, yeah. This is very, like, kind of like softcore BDSM stuff. I feel like we've seen a bunch of this stuff in the X-Men before too. Like, of just, like, women being strapped into these tight little machines and, like, forced to kneel down in front of other people. Like, this is
Yep. Rogue threatens to touch her there, and Kitty Pryde let slip. She's like, I didn't see anything. I saw actually nothing. Like, but I had to take pictures because he said, and then this is where the two danger bots pop in.
Yep.
And they can resist Mass and Jeffrey's powers.
Yes. They have logic programming that they can just slide it to somebody else. But luckily, Rogue stole just a little bit of Kitty Pryde's phase power, so she can phase through the optic blast and basically just run through them. Shreds the motherboard like a flash flood, which, sure, okay.
I don't know.
Something that happens to motherboards, I guess.
Yeah, that's not the simile I would use.
As she runs away, she stumbles into another... into this what looks like a medical unit, but another jail cell where Professor Xavier is, and she recognizes Professor Xavier, and she remembers Blindfold saying, ask the professor. She doesn't know how she recognizes the professor, though. She just knows that she knows this man. And so as she reaches out and touches him to absorb her power, of course, we all know what's about to happen, right? She's going to absorb these powers that she cannot possibly control, these telepathic powers, and she starts being able to see into the minds of everybody in this fortress, and they all start freaking out. Everybody starts freaking out at this.
Yep. Everyone's having a hard time at this. See what everyone's up to. Wolverine is cutting himself. Cyclops was talking to Frenzy, who gets a nosebleed and falls back. She gets overwhelmed, blasts everybody in the fortress, and then breaks contact. And this gives her up. Everybody knows what this was. And the people who are not in the know feel like this is an attack from the humans.
The one thing that's mysterious about this is, like, we see all of the mutants like go down like you normally would expect from a psychic attack, but we also see this voice that we haven't heard before saying, smash it. We have to smash it before they break it into pieces. So something is in here. It's trying to communicate, and it's not being heard for some reason. This is where Danger shows up, of course, in big robot form, and is about to kill Rogue when she manages to escape and jump out of the building. I just assumed that they would put their prison down low, but apparently they put their prison up high, which,
it's a sky cell.
Yeah.
It's a way of doing it. The way she escapes is this place used to be a bank, and she talks to the machines and tells them there's a security breach, getting the security alarm to go off. Dives out the window. The Danger robots think she's going to die because she didn't have, the power of flight, but she's caught by Madison Jeffries' AI assistant.
Yes.
Here. And once they realize she's still alive, Magneto basically says, yes, we have to go hunt her down. And they put Moonstar's unit on the case. I can't remember what they're called. It's like the Danny Coterie or something silly like that.
Yeah. It's the Goth ones. It's the Goth ones, right?
Yes. we get Moonstar, Douglock, Sunfire, the Sandstorm Lady, Dust, Magma, and then who we find out later is Karma.
Yes.
Who is half robot in this version for some reason or another.
And because it looks cool, Gary.
Yeah. And it looks great.
Yeah.
Looks super good. They're going to go hunt her down, and they're assholes. And that's our cliffhanger.
Yep. Super, super, super badass. They're going to go hunt Rogue down, kill her, presumably, but that's where the issue ends. I think this is a real breezy comic series so far, like a real breezy crossover event. And I just dig it. Like, I just think it's fun. I'm excited to learn more. Like, I want to know what the core mystery is.
I'm weak to the concepts on display here. And Mike Carey is an underrated X-Men writer, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Just in terms of, doing good work and not embarrassing dialogue. Like, it's very readable. This made me really want to go back and just read all of X-Men Legacy, which I've never done. I think I will.
Yeah.
At some point. But I'm reading X-Men from the start. So I have to get
have 30 years to get there.
I just finished X-Men number 7.
Yeah.
So
you'll get
have
there.
A long way to get.
You'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We very much appreciate it. We are going to be back in another week with more Age of X. In the meantime, if you want to support the show, ratings and reviews go a long way to be able to do that. You can also tell your friends and family, coworkers, about the podcast. My coworkers recently found this podcast, which is a concern. Oh.
Welcome, water people.
Yes, welcome people that know me in a completely different context than me making jokes about Cyclops' cock. So, love that for
me. We didn't talk about his cock, which I imagine also shoots a little optic blast.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I, if you've gone so much, like, let's say you've been with Frenzy like 5 times, right? You got nothing left. Like, yeah, sometimes you've got to force a little optic blast out there just so she can feel something, yeah, right? Just
yeah, to get when you nut, but she keep frenzying, yeah, and you just had to shoot the one-eyed optic blast.
Absolutely.
Big thanks. Two things of note. This is the first time we're recording after Duckstream.
Yes.
Anybody who listens to this who has not heard on other shows, big thank you to everybody who showed up and came out and supported us in chat. Signal boosted. I really appreciate it. The other thing is both of your hosts have new shows right now.
Yeah.
Real Lich Hours from Duckfeed just came out. First couple episodes are going. That is our Baldur's Gate 3 show. First couple episodes are going to be for the public. Then it's switching to Patreon. Very important. Tell your friends and leave us ratings and reviews while it's new. And you have a non-human, I keep wanting to say biotics, but that's because I just played Mass Effect.
Non-human biologics is the name of the podcast. Biologics. Yeah. So it's our, yeah, mine and Chris, who is my co-host for Monster of the Week. We switched from, well, we're staying with Hunks, so like it's still a hunky podcast, but we switched over to the X-Files, which is super, yeah, good in season one so far. We're having a good time. We just got to, we're recording on the episode this weekend, which is just a straight ghost story. Like it was, okay, it was 1993, yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's just no need to have a twist. It's just a ghost, which, yeah, is kind of weird to talk about in like 2023, like 30 years later, but it's just a ghost, everybody.
it's a great show.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's been, you know, me and Liv have been rewatching it. I love, he goes away pretty quick, but I love Deep Throat.
Yes.
Like there's just this guy who walks everyone's walk and goes, Mr. Mulder, perhaps we do know this.
What are you doing?
You know, just like, all right, and just tell me a fucking answer, you dingbat.
We have a running bit on the podcast because there's been a couple of times where you see Mulder like go have to do a requisition form to go investigate something, mm-hmm, so to get like, you know, FBI money, and it's just, so now we have a running bit that like every FBI investigation that Mulder does is right next to a Ruth Chris for some reason, like, yeah, it just happens to work out that way. so someone was abducted right next to the fanciest steak restaurant in Philadelphia. Interesting, Mulder. Interesting that you say that. Why does every X-File cost $11,000, Mulder? Can you please
the
explain
the stakes come for us all, Mr. Mulder. That's great.
Yeah, go check that out, because you can go Scully, find it on...
Scully wouldn't go along with it.
You can find that on all of the podcast services, so that's just out there for people to find. So,
the last little thing, we haven't talked in a little while. Me and Liv, when we were... we went to Seattle, and we were in a comic store, mm-hmm, and we found it. It's not as good as it seems, but we found a comic that is a prequel comic with young Mulder and Scully.
Ooh, nice.
As kids, and I thought it was going to be them like solving adventures as teens, like knowing each other, but it's their first experience with like the supernatural as kids independently.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes
they don't meet.
So they probably were really concerned about canon, which is like the least thing that I, yeah, would want them to be in that situation.
Yeah, it'd be all I want is like X-Files babies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
And like the smoking baby.
Definitely want to have the smoking baby in there. Yeah. Yeah. Arcade kidnaps FBI is what we need.
Yeah, there exactly. That is what I want. The Mojoverse. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.